blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated but never duplicated. Y'all know the drill. It's the real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen. We are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. Outcome cultivation is the order of the day. As you do so, I want to remind you to make this transition with intentionality, recognizing the primacy that God places on family and allowing the primacy that God places on family to drive your engagement. There are lots of things that we can do. And you know, I may talk about this more going forward, but I feel like one of the major things that the Lord is impressing upon me to continue to point out is that we must be vigilant in the civic engagement sphere. No doubt about it. Sure, we need to be in vigilant in other areas. But if we attend to civic engagement, and if we attend to things like fiscal responsibility, but we are not making disciples, we are missing the core of what is necessary. I've been referring quite a bit lately to John Adams's quote, you know, when he says that our constitutional Republican form of government is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other people but a religious and moral people. He, in that same statement, in his letter to the Massachusetts militia, he says that our government is incapable of bridling of navigating human passion unbridled by religion and morality. He said humans with passions unbridled by religion and morality will go through our government like a whale goes through a net. That's what he said. And so I want you to recognize when you see, you know, Zora Mamdani leading in New York City, you know, when you see these things happening, it's a reflection of a people who are no longer adequate for a constitutional Republican form of government. So then what is the answer? What is the remedy? The remedy is not to usher in a fundamental transformation of the United States of America. Well, sit down, Michelle. Way in the back. You all the way. All the way. You too. No, that's not the answer. The answer is that there must be boots on the ground engaging with the hearts and minds of the American people. Simply put, our form of government anticipates a robust evangelizing and disciple-making church, because without a people who are self-governed, this experiment of self-government, well, it's inevitable what will transpire, because a wicked people will not endure godly governance. So we must be about our Father's business. So as you are making your transition, the most important thing you can do with your day today is to make your home a sanctuary for the presence of God, to make your home a place where the name of Jesus is exalted, for your home, your dinner table, your area. I don't care how lavish or simple it may be. You know, and let me just say this for a moment, point of personal privilege, Your Honor. Homes are made to be lived in. You know, some people want to treat their homes like museums. And I told my wife, I am far more concerned with you presenting our children with the word of God than I am concerned with you fluffing the pillows on our couch before I get home. Please. We have to keep the main thing the main thing. All right, back on schedule. What goes on in your homes, what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House, because there are lots of things that can be done. There are lots of things that transpire that are vitally important. You know, the president's negotiations with China and South Korea and other nations concerning the tariffs, those things are vitally important, but they are not more important to you than what happens in your home. They're not more important to me than what happens in my home. And there are things in my home that I am the only one who can respond to it. And you and I are accountable for what we do with the time that God has given us within the jurisdiction that God has assigned us to. All right, to the word of God we go. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. This is another point of personal privilege to start. Guys, read your Bible daily. Read your Bibles daily. The word of God should become to you as absolutely necessary as food, water, and oxygen. Read your Bibles. If we are a people who are not consistently reading the word of God, we are actively putting ourselves in a position for a lack of discernment. To say it differently, we're putting ourselves in a position to be easily deceived. In this era of AI, you know, I'm telling y'all, iRobot, with all of the things that are happening, we cannot afford to be a people who lack discernment. The primary mechanism of developing discernment is feasting on God's word and seeking the Lord through his word. Not, oh, I got to get a void today. I got to get a void. Hey, Bobby, I got my void. No. No, we seek our Lord through his word so that we are transformed and that we encounter him in his word. I can't tell you the number of times I've read passages and read over things, and I've read it 10, 20, 30, sometimes 100 times before, but that 101st time, man, the Lord opens my eyes in a way. And it just draws me once again to the reality and the conclusion that I cannot live without him. Proverbs chapter 17, one verse. Proverbs 17:10. Proverbs 17:10. And this is what the Lord says in his word. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. You want to talk about profound. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. The question I have for us to ponder today is, are you a man of understanding or are you a fool? When we mature to becoming men and women of understanding, we grow to appreciate the efficacy of love-based rebuke. From a position of immaturity, and when I say rebuke, let me add a couple components to this. What the proverb writer has in view is an offering of rebuke that is anchored in eternity-based love, and that is articulated in the solidity of the unchangeable truth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is not just, hey, I'm going to check him. I'm going to check. Hey, Bob, you saw that boy over there? I'm going to check him. Hey, Jeff, you saw them? I'm going to check him. That is not what the proverb writer is talking about. The proverb writer is talking about rebuke in the same sense that the Apostle Paul talks about the enduring benefits of rebuke and reproof in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right? So when you understand the quality of the offering that is envisioned by Proverbs 17, verse 10, then the query turns to, am I a man of understanding? Because there is reality, and the Hebrew writer says this in Hebrews chapter 5. and in other chapters, actually, in the book of Hebrews. First and foremost, the Lord loves those whom he chastens or corrects. To the immature and the uninitiated, a correction can seem like a personal challenge or even a degradation. But when you mature to become a man or a woman of understanding, you recognize, if God is offering me this rebuke, the offering comes from a place of unfathomable love for me. The fact that God loves me so much so that he would don human flesh and take the punishment for my sin, that should recalibrate my calculus concerning his chastening, concerning his rebuke. Then it puts me in a posture. What is it that the Lord is attempting to drive me toward? What is it the Lord is attempting to shave off of me? Proverbs 17:10 says that a rebuke of this, with this quality that I described previously, it goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows will go into a fool. The picture for the contrasting point with the fool and how the method of attempted attention grabbing is physicality. 100 blows, being smitten, being struck, being pummeled. To a fool, the pummeling has no benefit because the only assessment is the surface level, superficial reality of the pummeling, not anything beyond or deeper than that, which brings me right back to the question again. Are we men of understanding or are we fools? Now, to help us navigate that assessment, and with the Holy Spirit being the source of introspection and evaluation, have you ever been in a situation where God keeps teaching you the same lesson over and over and over and over and over and over? Have you ever been in a situation where God is teaching the same lesson through different people in different verbiage, but the same issue keeps coming up? I again ask, on that point, are we men and women of understanding or are we foolish? I used to teach a Bible study. It started out with young men. If you can imagine this, on Friday nights in New Orleans, Louisiana, it's a bunch of dudes. We didn't have any food. We have nothing. We just have the Bible. And one of the conversations we would have is from another scripture in Proverbs. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. We would often say, I would often say to the brothers, you will never graduate beyond the last point of your disobedience. You'll never graduate beyond the last point of your rebellion against God. Because God knows, because of the combination of first the sin nature, next the fallenness that we have, next the dullness that we have, because when we're regenerated, we're born again, we're quickened from breathing to death into life. And the sanctification journey could largely be described as growing in maturity into the fullness of our new nature. To say it differently, to learn how to live new natural. New natural. That's something to ponder. Are you natural or are you new natural? And because of that dullness, sometimes the Lord has to communicate things to us more than once. The objective should be for us, though, to get to the place to where we mature and say, Lord, I want to become a man or a woman of understanding. And I recognize that your rebukes are love expressed to me. And I want that to penetrate deeply so that I don't have to repeat this lesson over and over and over again. So when confronted with the loving embrace of the Lord through his chastisement, one of the most profound things that we must do is say, Lord, show me myself through this.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
It is, in fact, relatively easy to bless others and encourage people with our words if we wisely and very deliberately seek to do so. Well, what are some words that we can speak as a lifestyle that can bless others? What are some words that can promote healing, grace, and encouragement in the lives of others? Well, here are a few. Thank you. I appreciate you. Please. How can I help you? I'm sorry. I apologize. Please forgive me. How can I pray for you? What can I do to bless you today? You are awesome. You are a blessing. I believe in you. I believe you can do it. You will do great. And obviously, these are just a few words, but words that can bless and encourage others in their daily lives.
When you hear the letters AFR, there are a lot of things that could come to mind. Automotive Finders Resource, Alligator Frying Research, or the Association of Flying Rednecks. All great organizations, no doubt. But we hope the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear AFR is American Family Radio, a listener-supported network dedicated to sharing the gospel and promoting godly values.
God expects maturity in us. We should not be comfortable living with habitual sins.
So that's a news cycle item. Is it the top news story to God? No, because he warned us about all of this.
Now, I don't care how nice you think you are. If you're not telling someone the truth, you're not being loving to them.
Make no mistake, we're not anglers from Red Bay, but we are AFR, American Family Radio. And we're happy you're listening.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I'm going to do something today I haven't done in a while. In the third segment, we're going to open the phone lines. And I want to invite you to weigh in on this shutdown craziness and your assessment of it. So I wanted to prepare you for that, which is why I'm announcing it now, because I've just been, man, that clock is so disrespectful. And I would have it in my heart to get to calls, and y'all know what happens. But we're going to we're going to do it today. So in case you've forgotten what the number is, I know most of you are like, I haven't forgotten it, but I still have it right here. I have it on speed dial. The number is 888-589-8840. That number is 888-589-8840. Now, that will be in the third segment. But right now, we're in the second segment. So let's commence to weave in with some of the... Some of it is foolishness. Some of it is not so much foolishness. But you do have some foolishness du jour. And one of the things that's happening is... some of you know this, and I hope to get to this in a moment, but CBS News has acquired the Free Press, right? So many of you, some of you may be aware of it. I use the Free Press as one of my sources for show prep. And the Free Press is the media company that was founded by Barry Weiss, who was a former opinion editor at the New York Times. And some of you may recall she left the New York Times in 2020, I believe. 2021, and she wrote an extensive letter, and she published a letter and said basically the New York Times does not embrace diversity of thought. If you have an opinion that varies from the accepted narrative in the institution, then you are bullied and you are intimidated and you are a bit harassed and basically... extricated ultimately from the place. So she left the New York Times, started her own outfit at the Free Press, which is a subscription media company. I don't pay for the subscription though. I just get the stuff they put up, but that's not behind the paywall. But they do a good job. And I think Barry Weiss comes from a tradition of actual journalistic integrity, You know, the Free Press, of course, I don't agree with everything they published, but they had some sound journalistic offerings there. Well, Paramount, the parent company for CBS, purchased the Free Press and in the process named Barry Weiss as the new editor-in-chief for CBS News. And I'm not going to a clip. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm just setting this up because I think Barry Weiss's new position as editor-in-chief at CBS is sending shockwaves across the media landscape. And all of a sudden, here we are, day 29 of the government shutdown. This is literally 6 days away from tying the record for the longest government shutdown in American history. I presented the question to this audience early on. Why isn't the government shutdown the biggest news story? Why aren't we talking about this the same way we talk about it? Oh, let me say it better. The same way they talk about it when they try to come up with some narrative to try to pin the shutdown and the reasons for it all on Republicans. And I made the point that it's because it's clear objectively the issue here is only a Democrat issue. It's the Democrats who passed Obamacare, also known as the Affordable Care Act, which now the Washington Post all of a sudden is admitting, no, it's not affordable. And this is what they added, Bobby. It never was affordable. Now, you and I know that. On this show, we've talked about that. But the Washington Post spent the previous decade, ever since, you know, Barack and Michelle wanted to get the Obamacare passed. They just talked about how wonderful it was and how, oh, it's great, it's compassionate, it's all that. And now the Washington Post says it's not affordable. It never was affordable. So the Democrats passed Obamacare with no Republican votes. Not a one. Then you had the Shmovit response. You had the, you know, the American, what was it called? The Restoration Act passed without Republican votes. Then you had the Inflation Reduction Act passed without Republican votes. That I told you before, the Inflation Reduction Act had nothing to do with reducing inflation. It was a green new scam, just paper with a new name. And included in it was the expansion of Obamacare subsidies. The bottom line of what Obamacare was, because you had many of the Bernie Sanders ilk said, we need single-payer health care in America. Single-payer. So our health care system would be as terrible as Canada's. Have you ever noticed how most people from Britain, they look like they need braces? I'm not trying to shade them. But it's because of their single-payer health care. The single payer doesn't pay for people to get their teeth fixed in Britain. That's why, if you ever wondered, that's why. Like, that's not a spleen. That's not a heartbreaking. That's not a heart stoppage. Nah, you can't get your teeth fixed, chief. And guess what? They have no alternative to go to. If they want to get their teeth fixed, they have to leave England. Leave Britain. So getting back to this whole situation, the Obamacare was passed. No Republican votes. The American Restoration Act, the Inflation Reduction Act passed with no Republican votes. And guess what? In the Inflation Reduction Act, it was the Democrats who passed the bill that set the sunset date for the enhanced Obamacare subsidies. The subsidies are the taxpayers' portions of paying for health insurance for people who are deemed to have low or moderate incomes. So the Democrats are the ones who passed the bill. They could have passed the bill to have a later sunset provision, but they didn't do so. And now, when Republicans have regained majorities in both houses of Congress and the presidency, and they passed the one big beautiful bill, and in doing so, they refused to extend Obamacare subsidies, and the government remaining open is just a basic funding bill that was passed by the House of Representatives, that included no additional Republican priorities and no additional Democrat priorities. But the Democrats in the United States Senate said, no, we're not going to pass it. And the Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives didn't want to vote for it. So you literally have Obamacare and the establishment of the subsidies originally passed by Democrats, the expansion of the subsidies, increasing the amount of money that the taxpayer will pay per individual Obamacare participant, including the sunset date, all passed by Democrats. And now Democrats are saying, no, we don't like the bills that we passed previously. So until you Republicans agree to our additional policy concerns other than basic funding of the government, then we're not going to agree to this basic government funding measure. That's literally where we are. So for the previous 20 days or so with the shutdown, you could hear nary a peep of this conversation publicly. But now that the shutdown has lingered on, you're starting to see some things change. I'll take you through the last 3 days very quickly. First, Monday. CNN's. Yeah, that's right. This literally is the Democrats' plan with Obamacare. And let me just tell you, about some who may not know, this has been the plan all along. Obamacare was created to fail in the first place, by the way. It was never affordable, as the Washington Post now has conveniently decided to say some 20-some-odd years later, welcome to the party, although you're late. It was like you going to the party, the DJ had already stopped the music playing, and the lights are all the way on, and ain't nobody in the room, but you coming in, hey, ready to get down. That's what the Washington Post is. They not coming to the party late. The party literally has ended a long time ago, and now they want pop and lock, you know? That's where they are. But Obamacare was created to fail in the first place because it was always meant to be a stop, an intermediary or an intermediate measure en route to single payer. That's what it's meant. It's meant to be revealed. Golly gee, I'm so surprised. You know what, Bobby? It actually is unaffordable. So guess what we need to do now? That's why the Democrats are saying we have to pay. We need more subsidies. Or single payer, Marty. Single payer is available. But now the tide is turning. Even CNN is getting in on the conversation. So Monday night, Jasmine Crockett from Texas. Oh, Lord. She was on CNN with Caitlin Collins. And they were having a conversation. And Jasmine Crockett straight up lied right there on TV. Usually those kind of lies go unchecked. And you have a nod and, thank you, Congresswoman, for coming on the show. Not this time. Caitlin Collins said, wait a minute, old Jasmine, Jazzy not fresh. You said President Trump, his priority is on the ballroom. When Caroline Leavitt said President Trump's priority is on the ballroom, he wasn't talking about not paying attention to the shutdown. She was specifically asked a question about renovation plans, to which Caroline Leavitt said the president's priority concerning renovation plans is on the ballroom. You're lying, Jasmine. Listen to this for yourself and watch. Caitlin Collins, check. Or to flow from our first segment, rebuke Jasmine Crockett on live television. Listen to and watch clip number four. Clip four, go.
Do you believe this will be the week that Congress comes to an agreement here?
I have no idea. I mean, you started off talking about the fact that the president is in Japan. The president has time to do everything but what he needs to focus on. In fact, we heard the press secretary say that his main priority is the ballroom that no one asked for, the ballroom that requires him to destroy historic pieces of the White House. And so it doesn't seem like he's interested.
And that context of the comment from Caroline Leavitt, she was asked if the president was working on any other renovations when it came to the White House. And she was saying his focus was the ballroom. But to your point about what the president said.
You heard that? This is why I'm going to play the clip from Caroline Leavitt, what you can hear for yourself. But how many times have you heard CNN check a Democrat elected official on national TV? That's the thing that caught me. I was like, whoa, I'm used to them lying. That ain't new. What's new is the Crescent News Network said, You know that's not the context. Now, here's the thing. And I'm going to play the clip. Man, this clock is moving fast today. If you have somebody that's so willing to lie like that, how do you trust them? Do you think Jasmine Crockett was unaware of the context that the president is focused on the ballroom renovations? Do you think she was unaware of the context that statement was made in? Or do you think she's depending upon two things? One, that the Crescent News Network is her ace boon coon, her homegirl, her homeboy. They're going to support anything she does. And two, to depend upon the ignorance of the American people. So She can say, yeah, while people are facing a cutting off of their SNAP benefits, the president is focused on his $100 million ballroom renovations. Listen to, this is the clip of Caroline Leavitt when she's asking that question, and it's clear that the statement that the president is focused on the ballroom was specifically in response to a question about his renovation priorities. Listen to it. Watch it. Clip 5. Go.
Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you.
In addition to the ballroom and the Rose Garden patio.
I'm going into the back. Sorry. Go ahead.
In addition to the ballroom and the Rose Garden patio, is the president looking at any other renovations or significant kind of projects here at the White House?
Not to my knowledge, no. But he's a builder at heart, clearly. And so his heart and his mind is always churning about how to improve things here on the White House grounds. But at this moment in time, of course, the ballroom is really the president's main priority.
Can it be any more clear? At this present time, concerning White House renovations, the ballroom is the president's main priority. He wasn't talking about not being focused on the shutdown. But you see, people like Crockett are used to lying like that and not being checked. And so when the lies are administered unchecked, that's how you have friends and family members who run around. Probably some of you said, you know, I can't trust the president in this shutdown because just the other day he said his priority is the ballroom. I don't know what you talking about there, Bobby. The president don't care about American people.
Why are you crying?
The president said his priority is the ballroom. I heard that McCrockett said herself. She was lying. Not only, why are you crying? Why are you lying? Then, the very next day, that wasn't the only one. Ooh, I got to get this in. Do I have enough time? Ruben Gallego. I don't have enough time. 6. Probably not. I'll set it up then. Look at them. Y'all should see Jeff and Bobby looking at me. They're looking like disappointed parents in the stands watching their son trying to get the spelling bee, and then they're in the final round and then they misspell Abercrombie. That's y'all should have saw them both on cue. I'm saying I have enough time. They're like this. I'll set it up. Cassie Hunt was interviewing Congressman Ruben Gallego from Arizona. Ruben Gallego was asked about the shutdown. He offers this weak sauce answer. Then Cassie Hunt leans in. Now, wait a minute, Ruben. I've been covering the White House for quite some time, and the consistent position of all parties. In fact, the Democrats cried bloody murder if they thought Republicans would do anything like this, because the conventional understanding is that the parties debate policy, and the party in the House members and the Congress members debate policy. Not during a government shutdown. That's not the time to debate policy. The consistent function has always been, we get the basic fundamentals of the government running through appropriations, and then we debate policy in a circumstance where nobody is like under the gun with a government being shut down. That has been the Democrats' position up until now. How do you embrace this hypocrisy? I couldn't believe Cassie Hunt asked that question. Not because I don't think it's an appropriate question. It certainly is an appropriate question. But I'm just not used to seeing the Crescent News Network ask those kind of things. And then if you thought it was just that one question, she leaned in on that. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. And we will open the phone lines as well. The question I want to ask you is, how are you processing this government shutdown, the current government shutdown? The number to call is 888-589-8840. That number is 888-589-8840. More Hamilton Corner when we get back from this break.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
When God allows something difficult in your life, you could look at it as his gift to you. Here's Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
If our way is perverse before God, what a mercy it is when God sets out to oppose us in that way.
God's way of getting your attention. On the next Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
Is the ceasefire a setup? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. President Trump recently brokered a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. But will this only give Hamas the opportunity to rebuild, as Iran is doing now? Meanwhile, President Trump wants the Abraham Accord signed by Israel and longtime Arab enemies. Plus, there is a strong push for a Palestinian state. All these dynamics may be setting the stage for the future invasion of Israel by a coalition of enemies prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where God miraculously rescues them, saying, "The house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God from that day onward." Hear a most recent program on this topic with geopolitical analyst Soren Kern at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend as we discuss whether the UK has reached a societal tipping point.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to The Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to The Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. We will open the phone lines this segment. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. I want to know where you are. How are you processing this government shutdown? But I want to continue, as promised, as the calls are lining up, to get to this conversation between Cassie Hunt and Ruben Gallegos. It's amazing. Then I'll tell you, just to let you know where we're going. Then, as recently as last night, Jake Tapper. Couldn't believe it. Jake the Snake. I can't believe it. They lied to us about Biden's mental decline. You like Home Alone? That's Jake the Snake. Boy, that boy's a liar. He went in on another congresswoman saying some of the same foolishness. Ruben Gallegos first. All right, listen to, again, to set it up, ask about the current shutdown. Didn't Democrats used to abide by the notion we address policy issues outside of a shutdown context? That's not when we talk policy. In a shutdown context, we just talk about what's necessary to get the government reopened. What happened, Ruben? All right, listen to and watch. Clip six, go.
I think my question is this. I mean, I take your point about these millions of people. The cost of living is incredibly high. But also, Republicans control the White House, they control the Senate, they control the House. And in the past, Democrats, when Republicans have tried to do something like this, Democrats have argued that the norms of our government should be that you negotiate policy outside of a government shutdown. I mean, I have over many years covering Washington, people have said that over and over and over again. And now I have neighbors in the D.C. area who are both employed by the federal government who are having to use food banks. We are heading into Thanksgiving. Why is it suddenly right to do it this way and to do it for this long when it didn't used to be the right way in Democrats' view?
Well, that's an easy answer. It's Donald Trump. You're talking about norms in the time of Donald Trump. It's also normal,
right,
not
but Democrats
for you to
have spent
East
so much time arguing about
it.
How maintaining those norms is actually incredibly important in the face of Donald
Trump. It's all out the window. It's all out the window, Casey. No, when you're dealing the time with Donald Trump, this is the man that is like extorting people. He's literally, you know, breaking every rules. We're not going to go back and play by the norms when we know that what's on the line. What's on the line is 24 million people are going to have their insurance rates premiums doubled. That's a new thing, by the way. And the fact is, the president and everyone expects us to play by these
but
old
didn't,
norms.
But didn't Democrats kind of set that up in the bill that you passed, though, that these subsidies were going to expire?
When we passed the bills and back in the day as part of the Inflation Reduction Act, of course, we were trying to, you know, maybe hope for the best that this country and our Republican colleagues would understand that raising insurance rates on people is a bad thing. I'm sorry they don't see it that way, but it's also not my job to make their job easier. My job is to make sure that the premiums of 24 million Americans does not double overnight. And if it makes it harder on the Republicans, that we're putting them in a very difficult position that they have to answer for that, and hopefully it actually comes with a good outcome, which is Americans not having to pay higher premiums, then that's good. But I'm not going to abide by old norms, especially when you're dealing with this presidency, this administration, and how the Republicans themselves have been acting.
Now, I played that whole thing because I wanted you guys to get the full context, all right, to show that I'm not taking anything out of context here. I'm not pulling a Jasmine Crockett. But did you see his face? For those of you who are able to watch the show, did you see Ruma Gallegos' face when he tried to say, you know, premiums for health insurance have doubled, and that is new. When Cassie Hunt said, didn't you Democrats set that up, though? Didn't y'all pass the bill for these things to expire? Did you see his face? He was not expecting that kind of question. I want to play the clip again and watch for that part of the conversation. You can tell how surprised Ruma Gallegos is. He's like, wait a minute, I thought I was on CNN. I didn't sign up for that. I was just complaining about the premiums increasing. I didn't want anybody to point out for the American people that we are causing the premiums to increase, that we passed legislation that included the sunset for the expanded subsidies, that was all of these things that are happening that I'm trying to lie and say these are caused by the Republicans. We actually did this. So when Cassian says, didn't y'all do this? You saw his face. He went, He stammered. Then he got back to his talking points, not even addressing what she said. He had to admit, well, yeah, we did pass the bill and yeah. Oh, 24 million Americans. Watch it again. And I'm not going to play the whole thing, but I'm going to play it up to that point because I want you all to see up to the point to where she asked the question. Didn't you Democrats pass this bill and set these subsidies to expire? All right. So that is, let me get back on my rundown here. Clip six, go.
When we passed the bills and back in the day as part of the Inflation Reduction Act.
Go back a little bit further before you get to that. Just a little bit, because I want to set it up with her question.
Breaking every rules. We're not going to go back and play by the norms when we know that what's online. What's on the line is 24 million people are going to have their insurance rates premiums doubled. That's a new thing, by the way. And the fact is, the president and everyone expects us to play by these
old
norms.
But didn't Democrats kind of set that up in the bill that you passed, though, that these subsidies were going to expire?
When we passed the bills and back in the day as part of the Inflation Reduction Act, of course, we were trying to hope for the best.
That boy was shocked. So just a brief recap. Dude, didn't the Democrats say the norm is policy after the government is shut down? What was his response to that question? We hate Donald Trump. Orange man bad. There's no substantive response. You know what? The norms are only normal as long as we say they're normal. When we don't like them being normal, we don't want it to be normal anymore. So yeah, though we usually don't want to debate policy during a shutdown, we're going to debate policy during this shutdown because I have no other answer other than Trump derangement syndrome. That's my only response. That's like when a parent asks a child, son, why did you jump in a water puddle? Because what? Because. Son, because not an answer. Uh-huh, I answered. 24 million. Because, no, you responded, but that's not an answer. So why are you breaking norms now? Trump. Okay, and no, because Trump. Well, why? Well, health insurance subsidy is going. Health insurance premium is doubled. Didn't y'all do that? 24 million. Man, go sit down somewhere. Guys, this is very interesting. I'll give you one more, then we'll get to the phone lines. Jake Tapper. Can't believe it. Jake the Snake. He took on a congresswoman from New Mexico. Couldn't believe it. Jake the Snake. Conversing with Melanie Stansberry from New Mexico. He straight up said, well, didn't the Democrats cause this shutdown? She tried to say, no, we didn't. Jake says, yes, you did. Listen to and watch clip three, go.
Should the Democratic senators from New Mexico, your home state, vote to open the government so that these SNAP funds are not at risk?
Let me be clear. The administration is choosing to starve American children with money that they already have appropriated.
I'm not applauding their tactics.
The White House. Well, this is a choice by the White House.
This is also, Congresswoman, this is also a choice by Senate Democrats to not vote to open the government. Yes, it is. I understand why they're doing it. They're doing it because they want Medicaid funds restored. They're doing it because they want Obamacare premiums to be extended past the end of the year. I understand the reasoning.
Sir, let me just be clear. The money for contingency plans is sitting there. That is why the states are suing. The White House is withholding funds from
children. 2 to 3 weeks worth of SNAP funds. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it may not be a big deal to you, but let me tell you, the grandparents, for grandparents that literally are feeding their children,
my point is that it's a short-term solution.
In those accounts,
it's a short-term.
At the end of the day, people need to be able to feed their families, and Saturday is when those funds run out.
If you feel so strongly, Congresswoman, why not ask the Senate Democrats from New Mexico to vote to open the government?
Why not get them to vote to open the government? Why not get them to open the government? You know, and as this is happening, you know, I am mindful of the fact that there are real people that are being impacted by this, you know, which is why it's so egregious what's happening here, because it's literally playing politics. These guys are attempting, and y'all know I'm an equal opportunity truth teller. If the Republicans are doing stuff that's messed up, I want to call it out. But in this instance, this literally is a Democrat shutdown. You had a clean CR passed in the House, and you guys know I don't like CRs. But a shutdown is not the time to debate policy. And here's the thing. Obama said it. Elections have consequences. You have Republican majorities in the House and Senate, even though they're slim majorities, more slim in the House than the Senate in terms of ratio. But you can't get mad that the big, beautiful bill was passed, and you jokers, when you had the authority, you set the Obamacare expanded subsidies to expire. So the doubling premiums are what you have caused. That's, you've caused it. But there are real people that are being impacted by this. And so as usual, we should be as Americans, is that if you have neighbors that are impacted by this, they have, you know, a reduction in funds or whatever. And I'm not talking about people that are abusing the social welfare system. People that say my lifestyle is EBT. In their able-bodied people, they're in their right minds, they're just lazy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about military service members and others that are diligent and effective neighbors and citizens, but they're caught in the crosshair, so to speak, of this political quagmire. To the phone lines we go. We'll start in Ohio, where Mark is on the line. Mark, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me on. I greatly appreciate it. And I enjoy listening, and it's an honor to be on. I am a father of six. I am married with six kids, single family income, and honestly, this is affecting me because we have to get our food help, you know, help with our food. Mm-hmm. My wife is like going crazy. Mm-hmm. She's a saint. I have to admit, you know, she's at home dealing with kids. They're in Catholic school, except for the two youngest. But I mean, she has to deal with them on a regular. And the way that I see it, you know, they need to put up or shut up. To be honest with you, and if I can't get my, you know, what I might need, then maybe they shouldn't get what they need. And I believe in term limits as well.
Mm-hmm. Quick question, so, Mark. Are you are you a member of a local church where you are? And does your church know what you guys are facing?
Yeah, we are. And my wife has been researching some food banks that can be helpful. And we definitely have friends. I had told my boss at work what's going on, and you know, she did a little bit of help what she could, but you know, it's difficult. And I'm probably a little better off than some. Mm-hmm. but honestly, you know, I know, and as soon as I can get back to where I don't need it, then it's going back to people who do.
Mm-hmm. Mark, thank you for your call and your comments. I pray the Lord meets you in this difficult time. And also, I would wholeheartedly encourage you to lean on your local family of believers. That's what the church is there for. That's what I would encourage for those who I am close to as well, to be able to navigate this quagmire that is a temporary circumstance. We'll go next to Texas, where Jerry is on the line. Jerry, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Go right ahead.
Yes. Two things real quick. One is I'm affected as well. I'm a retired military veteran. And so come, you know, when everything is ended, no VA benefit, 60%, you know, disability, no retirement benefit until they get this figured out. I've been blessed not to have to rely solely on that. I do have other income coming in. We are blessed in many ways. Again, we're being affected. However, the problem, in my opinion, is that the government schools don't educate the children. They indoctrinate them, because the people that listen and understand government that were homeschooled or have good parents that discipled and know that the Democrats aren't voting to end the stupid filibuster. So they say it's the Republicans because they won't come to the table, but the Democrats won't vote to end the filibuster or for culture or whatever the term
culture.
Is
yes,
so
culture.
That they can go and vote on it.
Yep.
That's the problem. You're getting a government school indoctrination through what people call public school, and I don't even use the term. I wish AFR would use government school more often.
Thank you. I had to leave right there. You can hear the disrespectful music. To explain what Jerry is saying, he's absolutely right. The House passed a clean CR. There are 53 Republicans in the Senate. The Senate needs 60 votes to invoke cloture so that the Senate can vote on the CR that the House passed. So the Republicans literally only need seven. You need seven Democrats to join them. Reason I said four or five, because there have already been two Democrats. There are already two Democrats who've said they'll vote with the Republicans to pass the clean CR. So you really only need like about five more Democrats to join the Republicans to pass the bill. So when this is described as a Democrat shutdown, that literally is what it is. Don't let anybody tell you anything otherwise. That is exactly what this is.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.